Hey guys, it's Liz, and you are listening to Dear Younger Me, Love Me, where we give people the chance to write a letter to their younger selves in hopes that we can learn a little bit from their lives. Hey guys, welcome to Dear Younger Me, Love Me, and today we have a new campus life leader. Her name's Anna Ruth, and you're here with us, and I'm so happy that we're here and we're talking, and I just love your spirit and your heart, and it's just so fun getting to know you. But I would love for you to introduce yourself to the rest of the world right here. The whole world is listening right now.
No pressure.
Yeah.
Well, hello, everyone. I am Anna Ruth, and I just moved back to the Huntington area recently. I went to HU a few years back, and after graduation, moved over to Ukraine for a few years, and then COVID hit, and plans changed, and now I'm back. But enjoying being in this community and being part of all the things that the Lord has brought into my life at this stage.
Yeah. So. And what did you do in Ukraine when you were there?
I did a couple different jobs, but the first was I was leading after-school programs in mostly middle school and elementary schools in Ukraine. And then the second year, I was an administrative assistant in the office for Mennonite Central Committee, which is a great organization. If you want to check it out, I'd recommend it. But it was a really interesting program. It focused on cultural immersion and cross-cultural learning. So as volunteers from all over come to a different country, they're bringing their own culture that will be eye-opening for other people there, and then they're also obviously learning a lot from the culture that they're immersed in.
That's a cool, just like unique opportunity to be able to go and do something like that. I'm curious, what led you to want to go to pick up and move to Ukraine?
I love new experiences. I love newness in general, and I also love culture, and so learning about different ways of life, different ways of thinking is a huge thing that is a core for me, a core belief for, and I love travel, obviously. So I actually graduating from HU that my senior year, a huge prayer request that whole year for semester specifically was, Lord, I want to spend at least a year in a different culture. Because at that point I had been able to go to on the trips, the TESOL trip to China and then the J-term India trip that HU had done. And so that kind of opened me up to what could be in a year long immersion. And so then I was praying that, and then I went to a conference with the history department and was introduced to MCC and their vision for their volunteer program and decided to apply. Long story short, ended up being Ukraine was the one that accepted my application and that I also felt a draw to and went there. So the Lord answered that prayer, and then he even opened up a door to stay another year. And so that was a big confirmation for me that I was really meant to be there.
And then coming home, what were some of the biggest culture shocks that you experienced coming home?
This might be weird, but how much people smile to strangers.
Oh, yeah. Especially if you came to the Midwest. Like, we're real smiley people here.
Yes. And it actually annoyed me because I had gotten used to in Ukraine, they view relationships different. Where when you're in the core circle, you're in the core circle. Like, they will be there for you whenever, however you need them. And it's beautiful. You basically get adopted by your family friends. That's what I saw in the families, because I lived with a host family. And so then they would have families over, and you would see the kids of the other family just, you know, so comfortable with the aunts and uncles, they would call them, of, you know, their parents' friends. Anyways, but then on the outer circles, it's less so apparent of how you're going to interact. And so when you cross people in the street, you don't smile, you don't make eye contact, because the thought is, I'm not going to see you again in my life. Like, our paths aren't crossing. And so then coming here, when I would go on walks and like want to be in my own headspace, or just, you know, going down my doing my business over here, getting my stuff that I need and whatnot, and then everyone's just like smiling and wanting to say hi to me, I was like, I don't care. Like, don't talk to me.
I'm not used to this right now.
Yeah, and I'm still getting used to it. But I will say that it, like, I do have a different mindset coming back of, like, I think the culture here is very much so, especially in the Christian culture, is like, well, that's how you impact lives. Mm-hmm. And for me personally, that's not something that, like, I really subscribe to anymore. But
yeah, yeah. Well, because you saw a different way of doing it that worked amazing with the family structure and like your community and, you know,
yeah,
adopting other family. Like, just, that's really cool, really unique. And I just think that's really awesome. And, but we were talking before we turned this on and we started the podcast, about just some of the experiences growing up and like speaking of like inviting people in and wanting to belong to something and all that. You shared a story that you remembered from high school that I think is so, like, I can remember this happening in high school too. It's just like this desire to we want to fit in, to like get our value from the people around us or from being associated with certain groups. And man, like, I used to be a teenage girl. I work with teenage girls. Teenage boys do like everybody does this. Even adults, we care about who we associate with, right? That's why we have so many influencers and followers and like all of this stuff on social media too. But anyway, I would love for you to share a little bit about that story that you said from high school and just that like one moment you remember of like, wow, this really opened my eyes to that.
Yeah. So I started in middle school, I think, trying to fit into like the popular crowd and just seeking that because I thought that once I got, you know, I got to be part of like a certain group, then that would make me feel more like I had more value or I was seen more or whatever it might be. And so that carried on into high school. And then at high school, I remember distinctly just this one day we were all sitting down at lunch around this table and laughing, sharing jokes. And it was a typical day. But I will share that like I never felt very close with any of these ladies. But I was like, well, this gives me, you know, an identity here at school or whatever. And then we were joking around and then I shared a joke with a friend that was sitting next to me and we laughed about it or whatnot. And then the conversation kept going. And then a minute or so later, she shared the same joke to the whole group, which, you know, I shared this with a friend and she's like, oh, I hate that when people do that or whatever. And it's like, that was my joke. But in that moment, and like I do feel that sometimes, obviously, but like in that moment, it wasn't so much about that. It was the fact that I was able to see through her a little bit and see myself in her.
Yeah.
Because it was like, you're trying to seek affirmation from these other girls just as much as I am. And they must be doing the same thing too.
Yeah.
And they just keep this facade up of they've got it all together like I do, but deep down they don't know where their value and worth is coming from either. And so I had this light bulb moment of why am I coming to people that have nothing to give me something?
Yeah.
And so just that moment made me realize like I need to take my faith a little bit more seriously because maybe he can give me the worth and the value that I've been wanting and seeking and craving, but I've been trying to get it from the wrong sources.
Yeah. So, that is such an important thing to like realize is just where we're seeking our value and where we're getting filled from. And you were able to have this moment of clarity that God gave you of, hey, look at this. And instead of being upset that someone took your joke and took the credit for it, now you can see right through that and be like, oh my gosh, I am having this moment where God is showing me something in this everyday thing. Because I think sometimes we wait for like these big spiritually driven moments at church or at like a camp or, you know, and all of that. But like God spoke to you in that moment at a table just like every other day. And we miss that so much.
I would say that historically in my walk with the Lord, that's how I've had more moments with him.
Yeah.
When I put a lot of pressure on the big moments, you know, where I might have these huge expectations of, okay, this is going to be a moment with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much. But then he'll come up in these random moments and tap me on the shoulder and be like, hey, do you see this? And yeah, so I appreciate that moment. And there's been others since then of just, they're unexpected.
Yeah.
And they're kind of like quiet whispers, but they're so strong.
Yeah.
At the same time,
it's like, yeah, it's like you can't, it's like this little buzzing in the back of your, like, even right before this podcast I had to run into the other room and turn off one of our humidifiers because I heard this like quiet buzzing, and it was just starting to be like, oh man, I forgot that I turned that off. And sometimes I feel like that's what God's voice is this like quiet buzzing. And once everything's quiet in your life, you really notice that how loud it is. You're like, I gotta get up and turn this humidifier off. But for you, it wasn't a humidifier. It was the Lord whispering something important to you.
Yeah.
Which is so cool. And so what, how did you shift that? Like, you had that moment and you realized you wanted to get more serious with your faith. Where'd you go from there?
I started going to youth group more and paying more attention. And then a big thing was changing the people that I hung out with.
Yeah.
And I distanced myself from the group that I was in, and started hanging out with, there was one other Christian girl who I felt at the time was a very strong Christian, and she still is. And it took a lot, because it was like willing to become kind of an outcast.
Yeah.
And, so it was kind of a readjustment of how I viewed myself, how I viewed the people around me. And I'm so glad I did, though. Mm-hmm. So glad. And
it's reviewing like popularity and what, how much value that really has.
Mm-hmm.
Like pleasing others.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I hung out with different people and then distanced myself. But looking back, I think I could have done it in a much better way.
Yeah.
In a much more graceful way, because I could have had a lot better of an impact on the friends' lives that I had beforehand. Mm-hmm. Than I did. And I remember one girl specifically who I actually enjoyed being with her and hanging out with her, and I really valued her as a friend. But because she was part of that group, in my mind I was just like, I can't right now, I have to be, you know, I have to distance. And like maybe I don't know, you know, there's always the game of what ifs.
Yeah.
But you can't play that too far. But I do kind of wish that I had not just dropped everyone just because they were part of a certain group.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I could have been more loving in how I did it. But what I did is done. And so.
Yep. And you can learn things from that and be like, okay, I can't do this again. Like, now that I'm looking back, I could have done it in this way or this way. Yeah. And I think I look back on the way that I did stuff when I was in high school, like, I would have changed almost everything, you know? Like,
yeah.
But we learn, and we have to just get up and keep moving from that and grow and realize, like, okay, there's a better way.
Mm-hmm.
to do this. I tried it this way. It worked okay, but it could be better later on. And so how did your faith shift when you started to get more serious about God? Where was God for you before all of this? And now, like, now that you're getting serious about it, where is he now?
I would say that he drew me in quite gradually and quite resolutely, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Of just like, there wasn't much change that I can look back and just determine and say.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't really have a good answer to that question. I would say that this sort of relates. In college, I had a deep doubt moment of just like, what is this that I believe?
Yeah.
And so there, that was one thing that I really respect about the Lord, is he's drawing me and giving me the faith that I need. And then he also allows us to experience our doubts, though.
Yes.
And to bring those before him. And he also placed people in my life that I could bring those to. I remember Dr. A specifically, my philosophy professor, I had a conversation with him one time of just explaining all these things that I didn't understand so much about the Christian faith. And to me, it had just been a moment of realizing what I believe is like saying I believe in magic or fairy tale, because it's supernatural. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't see a lot of the stuff that you're talking about. And it takes a lot of just belief and faith. And it's just like, what? Like, and then realizing what I am explaining to other people I believe. And it's crazy. It's it's crazy. You can't say it any other way. And that's the point of the whole being of God.
Yeah.
Is he doesn't fit into our understanding and our way of seeing the world. Mm-hmm. And so that was, that was a time where I shared a lot of doubts. And then he came back and he said, you know, but also saying other things can sound just as crazy. Saying that everything that we see here is just an accident or just came about. Like, he shared more in a better way. You know,
in a very philosophy professor kind of way.
And like more scientific backing. Yeah. But it just made me realize in that moment of like, oh yeah, that's kind of saying crazy beliefs as well. Yeah. So we're all crazy, whatever.
I know. Nothing's logical about all of this, right? Like, there's just, there's so much faith that is involved in all of this. And even like, if we believe is that like, Jesus is who he says he was, like, he was either a crazy person claiming that he was the son of this God and like all of this, or he's Jesus and is our savior and is everything that he says he is. We can't just be like, well, he was a great teacher, but I don't believe he was God. Well, he said he was God, so he's either crazy or we can trust him, you know? And I think having those spaces for those doubts and to wrestle with all of that, that's everywhere in the Bible. There's so many people in the word that wrestled with their faith. I feel like the entire book of Psalms is like, whenever David's writing them, it's just him wrestling with his faith, saying like, God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me? Why is this happening? And then he's like, but I still hope in you. Like, every single time.
Oh yeah, I love how David and almost a lot of the Psalms anyways allow for lamentations.
Yes.
They lament, and there's sadness in these songs that are also praise and worship. Yeah. And I think there's definitely some in modern worship today, but I think that's something that I miss of us preserving is songs that just pour out how sad we are, pour out how hurt we are, and in a way that the Psalms did. But yeah, I love that about the Psalms.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I think we don't leave a lot of room in like modern Christianity for like deep sadness and lamenting, especially as we're growing up, because we think if you're a Christian, you're just a positive person. Like, you're really happy. You're
your
joyful.
Sunday smile.
Yeah, yeah. Like that kind of thing. I even asked a group of teenagers, hey, who do you look up to in their faith and why do you look up to them? And a lot of them said, oh, I look up to this person because they're just so positive. And I'm like, that's not like that. Yes, that's an important thing to have the joy of the Lord in you, but it's not happiness and it's not just being positive, because you can have joy, but also have this deep sadness and these wrestling moments and all of that too. So I think that's an important thing to continue to speak and to say and to wrestle with and all of that. And so when you were having your wrestling moments and your times of deep doubt, and I love it that you still, like, you didn't just leave it there. You went and you asked questions, right? Like, so like when we have doubts, like who should we go and ask our questions to? Like, why did you go and ask your, obviously, like, he's a professor that, like, you knew he knew his stuff and like that kind of thing. But like, if somebody else is having doubts, where, what are some criteria that you went through? You're like, okay, this is people I can trust.
I think you really need to evaluate the relationships that are in your life. And I think you'll know.
Yeah.
You'll know if this is someone that I could bring this to, or this is someone who I feel like would have a really good perspective.
Yeah.
And also don't seek just one perspective. Yes, I talked to my professor, but I also talked to, you know, other professors, other friends, other strong Christian people that were in my life.
Yeah.
And if you don't have those, then seek those out in a certain way and pray for them.
Yeah.
I really feel blessed of how, you know, the Lord, there's no power of my own where this kind of came about. He saw what was happening, I believe, and then brought the people that I needed in certain situations and in critical moments. So evaluating the relationships you have, picking the ones that you feel would have interesting perspectives, and also who through their life you know that they have a close relationship with the Lord.
Yeah. You can see the fruit of that relationship. You're yeah. not, they're not just saying like, hey, I have a close relationship with Jesus. But you see, that's why in Galatians, God gives us this list of like, if they have the Spirit within them, this is what they're going to look like. Mm-hmm. Like they're going to look like they have love, peace, patience, fill the rest of it in, because I can't remember all of it off the top of my head, but it's in Galatians. Take a look at it if you're interested in knowing those things. But it's just the fruit of having the Spirit of God within you. And I think that's such a good criteria to look at when you're having those doubts. And so, because sometimes we're like, okay, well, if I have doubts, let me just go to the internet, right? Like, let me just Google this doubt because I don't have this Christian community, or it feels too vulnerable. I don't want someone to judge me or that kind of thing. But man, there's the internet is a dangerous place to go with some of these like big questions, because you don't know the source and you can't know any of these things that you were talking about of like, it's important to know these things about these people where you're seeking counsel for.
Yeah. And along those lines, I think it's important to go to the source that you know of the word of God. Like you have this, you know, like you have this relationship with the Lord, and you can't know someone if you don't know any of what they say. Mm-hmm. You know, if you just sit in a room next to someone for an hour and you don't say anything to each other, like you're not going to know them. And so, you know, taking his word and trying to delve into that and bringing your doubts, being honest about them, and then see what he reveals through that.
And you can even look at the stories of people experiencing doubt and wrestling with God and read those and be like, okay, Jacob, in the Old Testament, he wrestled with God, and like, what did that even look like? Mm-hmm. And like, just seeing what those stories are, because those are just God's instructions to us on how we should experience our doubt and how we should deal with those things as well. So I think that's so good. a lot of wisdom from you in that. Challenging to me too. And so even through college, and you were in Ukraine for 2 years, how is your faith grown, or that roller coaster faith? Because I think we all have these ups and downs. And so where has that taken you, these like pillar moments for you? Where is it taking you now?
Yeah. I would say in the beginning, high school, beginning of college, it was definitely a roller coaster relationship. Yeah. And now I would describe it more as season relationship. Yeah. And so there's seasons of drought, there's seasons of rain, but there's a continuance through it all of like God's presence. And one thing that I really learned was to not depend on emotions to know how close or how far I am from the Lord.
Yeah.
Because that changed so quickly and so fast.
That is such an important lesson, because I think we let our feelings dictate our view of God. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I feel sad, therefore God doesn't love me, or like, you know, fill in the blank with all of this. But how did you separate that?
It's more of just a mind intervention in the heart's dealings.
You catch yourself in all of that. A mind intervention to the heart's dealings. Yes. That is a beautiful phrase.
You just, and I don't know, it might be just different personalities handle it differently. But for me, I just have to mentally say to myself, like, Anna, yes, this is how you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You can sort through these and think about them, process, but you know that that doesn't mean that the Lord has deserted you.
Yeah.
You don't, So that's kind of how I handle it. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, always like trying to get those truths that speak against where your emotions might lead you to conclude about the Lord. And so having those like Bible verses around that just kind of speak against that, or speak, yes, he's here for you, he is for you, and things like that. So,
well, and I think the seasons analogy is perfect, because like in the wintertime, you look at a tree and you don't see any of the, well, here in the Midwest, we have very hard winters and very hard summers. Like, we get all four seasons to the T, right? And so when in the winter, all the leaves are gone and there's snow on the ground and everything's cold. And you could look at this tree and be like, this tree is dead. Like, if you didn't know better. But since we do know better, we're like, oh, there's something happening underneath still. Like, the roots are still alive. There's stuff happening underneath all the snow and cold still. Yeah. And so I'm not just using my eyes and saying, well, this tree is dead, knock it down. Because come spring, once again, there's going to be buds and it's going to grow leaves. Mm-hmm. And in summer, it's going to flourish. And then it'll happen in fall over again, right? And so, like, yeah, that roller coaster, those ups and downs. But now the seasons, it's like we always know something's happening. And, like, God's always there. It just looks different per season.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So even now, like, here you are. You're back in Huntington. And you're, I mean, this is just a new season for you. How has your faith been stretched? How have you grown coming back from Ukraine? And now, like, you're in this season.
So Ukraine was a very wonderful experience in some ways, but also very exhausting.
Yeah.
Because it's immersed in a different culture with people that are wonderful and you love, but also don't understand you in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
To no fault of their own. It's just, you know, different backgrounds. And so, and that's the beauty, part of the beauty of the experience is trying to bridge those and understand each other. But nonetheless, it can be tiring and whatnot. So coming back here was also a change in that sense of I feel the title for this season is just a refill season in some ways, and resting and going deeper in things that I've wanted to invest more time in, and then also just in relationships. I did have a lot of close friends, close people in Ukraine, but then coming back here has been returning to, you know, a closer physical presence in a lot of friendships that I value and a lot of relationships that I adore. And so, yes, this season has been the Lord refilling me in some ways, giving me rest that I needed. And I always loved the verse that says, you know, bruised reed he won't break. And I feel like that I've held on to that a lot in moments where I felt very bruised. But I was like, okay, Lord, but I know you won't break me.
Yeah.
Like, you'll bring something that will, you know, pick me up again a little bit. And so, yeah, this season I would say has been that.
Yeah, refilling season. And I think God knows exactly what we need when we need it. And so you even said you had to come home from Ukraine because of COVID. Well, I mean, God knew you needed this refilling season, even though it was probably really hard to be like, oh man, I'm not ready yet. I didn't want to go. But this whole time, God's like, well, I think you're ready. You need to trust me in that. And it doesn't mean it's any less difficult, but it's that bruised reed. Like, I know you're not going to break me with this. Like, I might get a little bumps and scratches along the way, but like, you're always going to take care of me in those things. And so, like, even right now, when you're thinking of different scriptures that really help you through all these different seasons and these times in your life, what are some scripture that you just always hold on to, that you always look for?
One chapter that I always come back to in my life again and again is John 10, because I love the imagery of the shepherd and the sheep that Jesus describes. So I read this in college first when it struck me, but it's continued on since then. The whole passage, really, but the verses that continually say that the sheep know the shepherd's voice. So, for example, verse 4 of, when he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. And further imagery of Jesus saying in verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. There's just so many good moments in here of the Lord describing what we are to him and how we can know him so intimately and personally. And then also how he does the same. Well, he's the first one, you know, that knows us so closely and personally. So verse 14 in that same chapter of, I'm the good shepherd and I know my own and my own know me. And I believe later it describes of basically that he knows us as much, as closely as he knows God, the Father. And that's just crazy. You know, like, you think of the Trinity, like, that's a tight group. They're tight.
Yes.
And that he's inviting us in with that. Mm-hmm. And so that's just a beautiful thing. And then it affects how I pray, thinking of, I'm not praying alone. Like, this is a conversation that's already going on, and I'm just invited to join.
Yeah.
So coming in and bringing my thoughts, my worries, but also just praises and whatever it might be, realizing that, one, you know, the Holy Spirit is interceding for me. Mm-hmm. That one verse that, you know, like, the Holy Spirit intercedes in deep groanings, you know, on our behalf. Like, it's beyond even words. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, I feel like that so many people can resonate that with that in so many moments of their life of, Lord, I don't know how to describe this to you, but I know that you guys are already talking about it, and I get to join that.
And they like, even though God already knows it, he desires us to tell him, right? Like, even though I already know these facts about this person, like, I still want them to tell me, because I want that connection with them, and to feel that intimacy with them through the conversational relationship.
It just takes the pressure off of coming before him, I think, of, I don't have to define this perfectly or beautifully. I don't have to. You will understand. And so I think that's why I like it, is you're going in. Yes, you always want to come before him and pray and be part of that, because it's a joy and it's a blessing and gives you life. And but also just take some of the pressure off of, like, you don't have to worry about how you're being perceived or how you're going to present it to him, kind of a thing.
Yeah. And you don't have to say the exact right words, right? Yeah. Like, God knows your heart and God knows what you need already. He just wants you to talk to him. You know, he just wants you to just relate to him and just, like, have a conversation with this, like, father that loves you. And it's so good. I love, like, just thinking about even that we are made in his image is just blows my mind sometimes, because it's like, wow, me, like, humble little me that's here living in this world in 2021, I'm made in God's image the same amount that somebody in the 1600s is made in God's image, and the somebody in, like, back in the Bible times was made in God. It's just like, I'm in the same image of God as Paul from the Bible. Like, holy cow, that's, like, incredible to think through. And that we're, like, invited into that space. It's just, and it's just amazing. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah, it is.
So right now, I would love for you to read your letter to your younger self.
Dear younger me, you're not going to like who you become. It's the honest truth, and in here, I'll tell you why. You, dear one, have your dreams. You hold them and fix their broken wings. You nurse them in the hopes to one day see them fly. There will be a time, you say, that standing on your own two feet, you will face the world, which you, it could not beat. You will feel the adrenaline rush your veins as the spectators see your powerful debut, because you depend on no one, and no one need save you. But I'll tell you a secret. That's not who you'll be. At some points, you'll find yourself against nemeses that make you meet your demise. But as you watch yourself shatter, the jagged pieces, no matter how hard you try, you cannot fix. But the ultimate carpenter will ever so delicately and ever so lovingly treasure those pieces. And as you sit there in the wreckage, he picks up the remnants of you you have long forgotten. And slowly his light shines through your mosaic heart, helping you feel the beat of his powerful and his pinnacle debut. Yet one more dream, my dear, you long to hold. You clasp it tightly, fearing lest a bit of it drip through your knuckled fist. Because heaven above and hell below knows you deserve it. Your freedom is yours. This life that you've created, right? Wrong. That's not who you'll be. Your real earnings reward you with the title of prisoner and debtor. But the one who bought you will bring a freedom of his own. But no matter how hard you try, you still won't get the copyright to your own life. As he takes the dreams you have nursed and lets them go, he will strengthen and spread your own wings on the breeze of his thunderous love. And in the eye of the storm, you will hear the wind whisper, "My child, you are mine." And in that moment, you'll be so eternally thankful he didn't let you become who you wanted to be. Love me.
That was beautiful. You're a great writer, number one. And I love the part where you're talking about how, just left on your own, you're in debt still. Like, you can't achieve this, like, worth that you're looking for on your own. And, like, the only way you can do that is through Jesus. And I think like telling yourself like, hey, you're not gonna like who you become, and it's because you're still sinful. Like you still are struggling with all these things. But here's the good news is that like God is so much bigger than all of that. And I just love that, like, the bigger picture that you're painting for yourself in that whole season. And it's so powerful. It's so good.
Yeah. That's why I think it's a continual letter to me, is because I know that I'll always struggle with my pride of wanting to be my own savior, my own provider, my own God in some ways, you know? And so it's a continual reminder of, this is what you want, but he won't let you get there, thankfully.
Yeah, because like you're just going to fall down and hurt yourself over and over again.
And hurt others in the way, probably.
Yeah, you know? Oh, it's so good. If somebody is sitting here and they're listening to our conversation and they're like, wow, I want to get serious about my faith. Like, I have been searching for fulfillment in so many other ways, through popularity, through sports, through, I mean, whatever that is, like, you can, anybody can fill in the blank with what their priorities are with that. But like, what's some good advice on where people can start and how can they really deepen this faith in the Lord?
I'd say my initial thought would be just say a quick breath prayer of, and even if you don't believe in him yet, there's no harm in praying to something that doesn't even exist, you know? So just, you are going to know it, and you and him, and say, Lord, if you're out there, bring me in.
Yeah.
Because I need to know you if you exist. And he can take it from there.
Yeah.
And beyond that, there's steps of having open conversations with people that do believe in him. Just being ready to listen. And read John. That's the book of John. I love that book.
It has so much Jesus. And if you want to know the shepherd, like if you want to know Jesus, you have to know his voice and hear the stories and hear, like, see his heart in everything that he does. Like, it's a place I always point people to as well. I think John is just filled with so many wonderful things. And Ruth Haley Barton talks a lot about the breath prayers and even just like praying to the rhythm of your walking. I think is just like anything you're struggling with. Like if you're walking down the hallway, like think of some sort of quick prayer that goes with the rhythm of your breathing and like how you even stride and all of that. It's just, it feels natural to do something like that, right? Yeah.
The idea that prayer doesn't have to be this long, lengthy essay that you present to him. It's just where you're at. It doesn't have to be long. It's just a sentence and being honest and things like that. Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. Anna, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. It's been such a fun conversation, and I love getting like deep into the weeds of Jesus and just like talking with you about where his heart is and how we can see that and everything. And I mean, we could have talked for a long time about the Good Shepherd and that whole analogy. I was like,
for sure,
ready to jump in and go. but it's so good. And I think that a lot of people can gain a lot of wisdom from some of the things that you said, and even learning like God, like your relationship with God can be in seasons, and that's okay. And if you're in a winter season right now, like that's okay. There's still something growing underneath.
Yes.
Like there's always something growing underneath, and even if we don't see it right away, there's always something there, right? And I just think that's really important, and that I think you communicated that in a really powerful way. And so thank you so much for being on this podcast and for being willing to come in here. And I deeply value the wisdom that you can bring with Campus Life and the wisdom you can bring to the girls that you are working with and getting to know and all of that. And so, thanks for being here today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. It was a joy.
Yay. And everybody at home, thank you so much for listening. I hope that you guys can learn a lot today, and make sure you guys like us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the other places podcasts are found. Leave us a review, share this with people, let people know all of the things that you learned today. And guys, I hope you learned a lot more about Anna, a ton more about yourself, and even more about God. Go out and have a